Shmuel obeys. I feel like trumpets should blare. Remember where we left off in Shmuel Aleph. And again, we've said a billion times, there's no such thing as Shmuel Beis. It's all Shmuel. That's all, which is why, if you look at the top of the sheet, I just wrote Shmuel number 161. I'm not starting the count again, as we did with Yehoshua and Shoftim. So, remember where we left off. David is living in Ziklag, in Plishti territory. He just won a war against Amalek to retrieve their family and their families and their property, but the city of Ziklag was burned, and it's very unclear that they're going to stay in Ziklag. That's where they are in the start of Shmuel Beis, but it's like, who would want to live there at this point? Especially when Ziklag is in Plishti territory, and the Plishtim just killed Shaul, they killed Yonasan, they killed the family. They killed unnumbered Jews, overrunning their cities all the way to the Yarden, and they're now in control of most of Eretz Yisrael. So even if David is now king, which we're going to see he's not necessarily, what sort of monarchy is he actually inheriting? What are you king of? You follow? So the chapter basically has three parts to it. The first part, David comes back from defeating Amalek in Ziklag and gets the report that Shaul is dead. Second part, David grieves and he executes the Amaleki. And third, he eulogizes Shaul and Yehonasan. So we're not going to spend time on his decision, Shaul's decision to end his own life. We did that already at the end of Shmuel Aleph. There's no point in revisiting that. We're also not going to spend that much time on whether the Amaleki killed Shaul or not. We already discussed that at the end of Shmuel Aleph as well. We'll spend a little bit of time on it, but not much. I do want to spend time on the relationship between David and Shaul next week, and David HaMelech as a king. I gave you on the sheet a little bit of an outline of Shmuel Beis, because it's worth, you know, being able to project forward and just see where things are. The opening piece is clearly really with the last couple of chapters of Shmuel Aleph, and it's the end of Shaul that we're seeing here. Then we move into a period of time when the house of Shaul is in competition with the house of David. David, as I wrote on the sheet, is based in Hebron. David has people who are his supporters. Shaul has a son, Ishbosheth, who has his supporters. Ishbosheth's general, Avner, kills Asael, who is the brother of David's general Yoav. We already know Yoav from before. Ishbosheth alienates his general Avner, who defects to David. Yoav kills Avner, and David is upset, and Ishbosheth then gets killed, and David kills the assassins who killed Ishbosheth. Like we just said, there's a lot of blood in this book. Then we move into David as Melech Yisrael. So David conquers the Yebusi and he moves to Yerushalayim. He brings the Aron to Yerushalayim, the story I referenced earlier with Uzzah. Then Michal has a showdown with David because she's unhappy about his conduct during the dedication. David wants to build the Beis HaMikdash but is told he's not able to do so. His son will do it instead. And then we record David's military victories against various nations. I tried to include in the outline where there are parallel passages to see in Divrei HaYamim. Then we move into, as I put it, sin, punishment, and repentance. First, we get David's support for Yonasan's son, Mephibosheth. Remember, David had a bris with Yonasan to take care of his family, so it's not surprising to see that he's going to support Mephibosheth. It's also consistent with David's personality. David conquers Aram. Then the story of David and Bathsheba. David being rebuked, David getting punished, and the punishment continues as David has a son named Amnon, who rapes his daughter Tamar. Then Avshalom, another son of David, kills Amnon, revolts against his father, gets killed, and David grieves for him. And then in the aftermath, you get how David deals with Mephibosheth, as well as Barzillai, the supporter of David, and tries to unify the people. And then there's a revolt by Ephraim Sheva ben Bichri. And then the concluding chapters. The Givonim want revenge on Shaul's family. Then you get closing accounts of wars of David. David's song of thanks to Hashem, which also is known to us from Tehillim. David's warriors. the fallout from David's military census that I mentioned earlier, and finally David's Mizbeach that he builds in the granary of Aravna of Yebus, and that is the site that becomes the Beis HaMikdash. That's your basic outline of Shmuel Beis. Clear? Yeah, Ruth.
So is David ever publicly crowned?
Yes.
When does that
happen? After Ish-bosheth is killed.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we start on Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph. How did Shaul actually die? So again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on his decision itself, but remember that back in the last chapter, Shmuel Aleph, the Plishtim overcame Shaul's army. They killed his sons, Yahona's son, Abinadav and Malki Shua. Shaul is afraid. He knows he won't escape. His Shmuel already told him that. His aide is afraid to kill him, so he falls on his sword, and we talked about why Shaul wants that to happen, to avoid them mocking him, to avoid torture, to all the different answers that we already gave. Jews would get killed trying to save him. But that's his decision. And then the Plishtim come and they desecrate the bodies. Take a look now in Shmuel Beis and the version here. Vahi achrei mos Shaul, after Shaul died, v'David shav me'akoses ha'amalek. David comes back from the war against Amalek and to save the people from Ziklag. Vayeshev David b'Ziklag yamim shnayim. David lives in Ziklag for 2 days. Vayhi b'yom ha'shalishi, on day 3, v'hine ish b'amen ha'machane me'im Shaul. Somebody came from the camp from with Shaul. Uvgadav kiruim. His clothing is torn. Va'adamal rosho. He has dirt on his head. He comes to David, and he falls low on the ground, and he bows. David said, where are you coming from? He says, I fled from the camp of Israel. David said, what happened? Tell me. He says, the nation fled from the battle, right? We talked about that at the end of Shmuel Aleph, how them fleeing was the cause of the collapse. And many people didn't get away. Many people were killed. And Shaul and Yehonah's son are dead as well. And David says to him, how did you know? Vayomer hanar hamagidlo, and the youth says to him, Nikro nikresi bahar hagilboa. I happened upon har hagilboa. I wasn't looking for him. I happened upon har hagilboa. Vihine Shaul nishan al chaniso, and Shaul was leaning on his spear. Vihine harechev uvalei parashim hidbikuhu, and the charioteers, had already found him. Not quite the same as what we said in Shmuel Aleph, where it was the archers, but close. Vayifan acharav vayireini. He turned around and he saw me. Vayikra elai, and he called to me. Vayomar hineini, and I said, here I am. Vayomar li mi ata. And he said to me, who are you? Vayomar elav, and I said to him, Amaleki anochi, I'm an Amalekite. You know, you could see Shaul, like, oh great, that's what I needed right now, an Amalekite. Thanks a lot. Or he said, wait, didn't we get rid of you? I thought we eliminated all of you. Like, we've discussed that issue. Fine. Vayomer elai, abadna alai umosiseini. And he said to me, stand upon me, stand over me, and kill me. Ki achazasni hashavats. I have been gripped by the shavats, and we've talked about the shavats, whether shavats refers to some kind of a tremor or fever, or whether it refers to a garment that Shaul wore that kept him from stabbing himself through, or a garment of the Plishti soldiers. We gave all these different explanations. Kichol od nafshi bi, he says, I'm still alive. Va'emod alav, va'amosiseyu. And he says, I did that. I stood upon him, and I killed him. Ki yadati ki lo yechia achrei niflo. I knew he wasn't going to survive after falling. Va'akach ha'nezer asher al rosho ve'etz adah asher al zero'o. I took the crown on his head. I took the bracelet from his arm. Va'aviyem el adoni hena. And I brought them to my master, here. The I brought it to you. That's the answer. Remember, we said back in Shmuel Aleph, that was my last comment on Shmuel Aleph, was that the it shows how Shaul went out to war, knowing that he was going to die. He goes out to battle wearing his crown and wearing his bracelet, right? Hardly what you do as a warrior, but he's going out as king. That's his action. So that's the account that the Amaleki brings for what happened to Shaul. So as we said then, it's unclear how exactly Shaul died. Right? Radak doesn't know what to do. Radak in source number 7 on the sheet, Kimes Shaul. He told him that Shaul died. Karov Lamisa, meaning Shaul was dying. Kimo Betseis Navsha Kimesa, like the pasuk with Rachel when she died while giving birth, but she succeeded in naming Binyamin. Kilomesa Dayin Achemi Soha Amaleki. He didn't die until the Amaleki killed him. That's one. The Efsher Ki Kizeva Amaleki. Or maybe not. Maybe the Amaleki was lying. Vulim Tsochein Beinei David Lefi Machshavaso Amarkein. He thought David would be happy. So he figures, let me curry favor with the new boss. So two different approaches in Radak, and he doesn't choose between them. View number 2, Abarbanel, the Amaleki didn't do it. It's a lie. In his comments to Shmuel Aleph, he goes both ways before concluding that the Amaleki did do it. However, if you take a look at source number 8, he's commenting on a later perek in Shmuel. When we divrei David bazeh yera'esh shelo harag ha'amaleki as Shaul. He says, from David's words, it looks like the Amaleki did not kill Shaul. It didn't happen. Okay. And then the third school of thought, just to round it out, right, we had the unsure school, Radak. We had the he didn't do it school of Abarbanel. And then you have Malbim and Ralbag who say, no, absolutely the Amaleki did it. Malbim says it's straight, the Amaleki finished him off. Ralbag brings both ideas, but he votes for the view that the Amaleki finished him off based on the psukim. First of all, Pasuk Vav, sentence 6, which has Shaul leaning on the chanit, on the spear. So he says in number 9, Yidmesh achar shenafal chaniso v'ra'ah shelo dakrahu. He says it appears that after Shaul fell on his spear and he saw it didn't run him through, Hayashul nishan alav b'koach. He was leaning on it with effort. Lashlim hadikira, to try to complete it. And he saw he couldn't. So he told the Nar to kill him. But he did not succeed with the spear. He was stuck leaning on the spear. His reed, Chanit and Cherev, are the same in our story. Because it said that he tried to stab himself with a Cherev, not the Chanit. He also says that that's the idea of being gripped by the Shevets in source number 10. Haratzon bazeh lefi masha achshov. He says, I think the idea of being gripped by the shevet is shehalavush shehayalavush haya mishubatz. It means that what he was wearing was reinforced. Lahosif lo chozek, to make it stronger. Ba'open shel yuchal acherev lechatcho bekalut, such that a sword couldn't cut it easily. Right? It was armor. Ve'amar Shaul shachanit shenafal alav achaz lo hashevetz ulezeh lo haya yachol lavor ledokro. Shaul was saying that the Shevets gripped this spear he was trying to use to kill himself, and therefore it was not able to actually run him through. So, three different schools of thought. Clear? So here's my question to you. If the Amaleki did this, is that an act of murder? Is it prohibited? Is the Amaleki allowed to do what he did? Yeah, Janine, and then Etty.
I'm not sure if he was allowed to, because if he was suffering, I wonder if it's the fact that he boasted about it, that he came and I did a good thing.
Oh, you're jumping ahead to why David kills him. I'm not there yet. I just want to know, was he allowed to do what he did? Was that okay? Eti?
I think that your king tells you to do something, you do.
Even this? So... I mean, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is not to kill people.
I personally think that he only said that to ingratiate himself.
Right. Now, I'm asking if he did it. I'm asking if he actually did it. See, the reason I'm asking the question is not... Yeah, Ruth.
Why would he say that he did it?
Because he thinks that David will be happy.
Yeah.
So, the reason I'm asking the question is not so much because I know anything about the Amaleki's morals, but rather because there is a prohibition of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. You're not allowed to cause people to stumble. If the Amaleki is not allowed to do this, then what business does Shaul have requesting it of him? Right? Unless you're going to say it's rach ra'ah, and therefore he's not in his right mind, and so on. But otherwise, what's the justification? So, the first approach is to say, yes, it is in fact prohibited. And by the way, it also would have been prohibited for Shaul's aide, who he first asked to do it, right? The aide was also not allowed to do it. So that's one approach. The fact that Shaul says to do it doesn't justify it. Remember, the halacha is, it's a Gemara in Bava Kama, that you're not allowed to injure somebody even if they ask you to injure them. If you take a look at source number 11, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, a source that becomes a very big source in the whole euthanasia discussion, the Torah says, after the flood, Hashem says, the umiyad ha'adam, miyad ish achiv edrosh es nefesh ha'adam. From a person, each from his brother, I will demand the life of a human being. So Rabbi Mecklenburg wrote in 19th century Germany, Kefel Lashon Adam V'ish. You have a double term. Miyad Ha'adam, from the Adam. Umiyad Ish Achiv, and from the Ish, his brother. Gam Chibur Elav Milas Achiv, and it also joined in the word brother. Nirali Kieshnei Ofanei Ritzicha. He says there are two forms of murder. Im L'ra'as Hanir Tzach L'Nkom Nikmasomi Menu. There is harming a victim in order to get revenge on him. Oh, lakachas memonochadoma, or to take his property, whatever. Im letovas hanirtzach, kishu mishuka betzar gadol vivchar maves mechayim. But sometimes it's actually meant to benefit the person who's getting killed. He's in a lot of pain and he'd rather be dead. So what Rav Mecklenburg is saying is that it's prohibited to take someone's life, whether it's as Adam, just a regular person, or it's as achiv, even if you're doing it as a brother, it's still not okay. According to this, he's not allowed to take the king's life. And if you'll tell me, sort of like what I think Eti was saying, well, the king was the one who gave the order, and therefore I don't want to be a rebel against the throne, the next thing you know, Shaul might give away his wife, if Doeg talks to somebody about this, as per the discussion earlier. It doesn't matter. The Ran has this great discussion, Rabbi Nissim has this great discussion, and I think it's in his 11th Drasha, where he talks about the balance of powers, and what a king can do, what a Navi can do, what the Sanhedrin can do, and the king does not have the power to give an order to do something that halacha prohibits. So no, he's not allowed to do that. As a matter of fact, the Rambam brings, I didn't bring it on your sheet, in Hilchos Malachim, that a non-Jew who kills a treifa is somebody who is dying, is subject to the death penalty. So the first view is no, the Amaleki is not allowed to do this, and I have no justification for Shaul telling him to do it. That's one approach. It really is a lifnei iver problem. Second approach is no, this actually is mitigated. Because maybe this Ben Ger Amaleki is a Ben Noach, he's a Noachide. And if you take a look at source number 12, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, V'gam efshar sheben Noach eino asur beritzicha, shehu letovas hanirtzach, maybe a Noahide is allowed to perform euthanasia. Maybe there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew in this regard. Rav Moshe is talking about another story. The story of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyum. If you remember the story of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf, Yitzayin, Yitches, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyum performs the crime in Rome of teaching Torah in public. They take him and they wrap him in a Torah scroll. They put wet sponges between the scroll and his body, and they light the sponge, they light the Torah on fire. And he's suffering horribly. And his students say, open your mouth and let the smoke come in and die that way. And he says, no, he's not going to do that. If God wants to take his life, God will take his life, but he's not going to hasten it. But then the executioner asks him, if I take out the sponges, do I go to Olam Haba? And he says, yes. And the executioner takes out the sponges and jumps into the fire. And the question there is, if the executioner is not allowed to hasten death, then aren't you misleading him? So Rav Moshe gives this answer. Rav Moshe says, the answer is that maybe euthanasia is permitted for a non-Jew to perform. That, though, raises a big problem. I'm surprised no one has called me on it yet. What's the problem with that answer, that a non-Jew is allowed to do this? The problem is in Pasuk, where was it? Where, I just lost my place, hang on. Hold on 1 second. Why can I not find it suddenly? Where is it? There it is. Sorry. Pasuk Yud Gimel. David speaks to the youth, and he asks him, where are you from? What does he say? Yes, Eti.
That he's son of a convert.
Yeah, son of a convert to Judaism. He's the son of a ger. It's interesting, because to Shaul, when he says that he told Shaul, I am an Amaleki, he didn't say, Ben Ish Ger Amaleki. He just said Amaleki. Right? So, if he's the son of a ger, then that means he is a Jew. So, three approaches. I brought them in source number 13. The first approach is, yes, his father converted fully, and therefore he is a Jew. That's Radak, at least one view brought in Radak. But it is a second view that ger is in the literal sense of ger. Right? I mean, they're both the literal sense of ger, but ger just means a stranger. It could mean a stranger who came and joined you, or it could just mean a stranger, a foreigner. I am a son of an Amalekite stranger. Now, you'll ask me the question we've been asking off and on all for a very long time. If he's just an Amaleki, why didn't David kill him as an Amaleki? So maybe the answer is what I brought you in source number 14 from the Rambam, who says that if one of the seven nations or an Amaleki comes to you and makes peace, then in fact you leave him alive. There's no mitzvah of executing him. So maybe that's the answer. He was like a ger toshav. I don't know. The third approach is a barbanel. And a barbanel in number 15 says no. He says the guy was not from Gerim at all. It's part of the lying that this guy is doing. Remember, a barbanel believes the Amaleki didn't kill him either. So he's just a serial liar. If you take a look at source number 15, he says, I'll read out my English translation for time reasons. Chashav David Shanar Hazeh, Im Hayoso Amaleki, Hayemishares Ish Mizera. Oh yeah, I said I was going to read my translation. David thought that this youth, an Amalekite, served someone from another tribe, like the youth who had brought him to the Egyptian, to the Amaleki forces, who was an Egyptian who served an Amalekite, right? We read that. When they had the Egyptian who helped them find the Amalekim met the end of Shmuel Aleph, so that was a, that was somebody serving somebody else. And David asked him where he was from, and who was he? Thus he said, from where are you? Meaning, from which person are you? He saw this was a youth. He thought he was a servant of someone else. And the youth answered, I am the son of an Amalekite ger, meaning he did not serve someone else. He had no master other than this father with whom he had gone to war. Therefore, I should say his father, with whom he had gone to war. Therefore, he gave his lineage from his father, saying, I am the son of an Amalekite ger, meaning an Amalekite who had converted. Now, at first, he did not say he was a ger. He said, I am an Amalekite, right? When he said he spoke to Shaul, and Shaul asked him who he was, back in sentence 8, he said, I'm an Amalekite. Perhaps when he saw that David was asking many questions about the matter, he deviated from the truth, saying he was a ger, which was a lie. Now I realize why nobody called me on it when he said, I'm the son of an Amalekite ger, because we actually didn't read Pasuk Yud Gimel yet. We had stopped before that. Okay, my bad. Bottom line out of all of this is that we don't know whether the Amalekite actually did it or didn't do it. If Shaul really told him to do it, there may be a violation here of Lifnei Iver. But the most interesting thing for me is to go back from Halacha to Tanakh here. What insight does this offer us into Shaul? Like everything with Shaul, it's complicated, right? In terms of him ending his own life, it depends on how we read the justifications, which we've talked about. Was it a matter of personal interest? Was it religious? Was it national to keep the Jews from trying to save him? In terms of him asking the Amaleki for help to kill him? So if we understand that he isn't Jewish and is allowed to do this for euthanasia reasons, then Shaul is within bounds. But on the other hand, if we take the view that he is a Jew or that a non-Jew is not allowed to perform euthanasia, then that doesn't help us and Shaul is out of bounds. In terms of asking the aid for help, I guess it's all part of the same point. It's really these two things go together. Overall, it's such an irony, and I think someone mentioned this when we were doing this story in Shmuel Aleph, that Shaul, king of Israel, is killed by an Amaleki when he lost the throne for his failure to kill the king of Amalek. You know, now he gets executed by an Amaleki. Well, David, we might as well see it now. We got 2 minutes. Pasuk Yud Gimel, sentence 13. Vayomer David el anar hamagidlo, e mize ata. David says to the youth, where are you from? Vayomer ben ish ger Amaleki anochi. And he says, I am the son of an Amalekite convert. There, now we read the Pasuk. Vayomer elav David, and David says to him, you can see the clouds gathering, Eich lo yareisa lishloach yancha l'shaches es Mashiach Hashem. How dare you? How are you not afraid to send out your hand to destroy the anointed one of God? And you know what's coming next, obviously. So, we'll see it, but not yet. So, David is going to execute this person for doing this. We have to ask why. Why is David going to execute him? Yeah, Janine.
Why are we willing to accept that he's lying, about his identity, but he's not lying about killing Shaul? When you read in Pasuk Hey in the last parak, it's like there's no mention of it.
Yeah. Anything. No, maybe he is lying.
So he died or was dying, but he died with him. So it doesn't sound like there was an intervention of someone else.
Yeah, no, Abarbanel's view was that he is lying.
It sounds like it's more reasonable because...
Well, keep in mind, you have to ask two questions, right? You have two different questions. Number one, did he really do it? Number two, does David think he did it?
Right. Okay.
David didn't read the end of Shmuel Aleph.
Right.
So as far as David is concerned, he has no reason not to accept this. And with some of the explanations for why David did it, it doesn't even matter whether this guy did it or not, as we'll see. But, all right, it's 2:30, so we're going to stop here. And God willing, next week at Susan's, we will have the Zoom option for those who can't be there. If you didn't RSVP yet and you want to be there, please make sure that you email me, and then I can send you the address.